Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. I'm going to start reading from the very end of verse 11. This is the reading of God's word. Joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. We ask that you would grant us, all of us, an ear to hear your word. And as we hear your word, let our faith grow. Let us grow to the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we hear your word, let us enjoy your presence with us. And let us see through your word what our Lord has done and accomplished for us. Let us rejoice and give you all the glory and thanksgiving. We pray that you will cause this preaching to preach only the truth, the true gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That you will cause all of us who are hearing your word to hear and understand and believe and obey to bring glory and honor to you. We thank you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, again, let me remind you, we are reading Paul's prayer for the Colossian congregation. But even though it's Paul's prayer for the congregation of Colossae, it is God's word. So we could conclude that this is Jesus' prayer for us. And because all of his prayers are already answered and is being answered, and one day all those realities will be visible when he returns, so that what we see in his prayer is our reality. This is how we are in Jesus Christ. Paul prays that they would live a life that is worthy of the Lord, to please the Lord in all respects. And that life is expressed in these four things, as we saw. First, bearing fruit in every good works. Second, growing in the knowledge of God. Third, strengthened with all power for steadfastness and patience. We saw these three already. Today, the fourth one, the last one. Joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. A life that is worthy of the Lord is a life that joyously giving thanks to the Father. Giving thanks to our Heavenly Father. All those who believe the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, all those who are truly saved from sin and this sinful world, they give thanks to the Father, to our God. Those who do not give thanks, well, they do not understand the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because once you truly understand what God has done for his people, and if you are one of his people, it's automatic, it's so natural to give thanks to the Father. Those who do not give thanks, they do not know the reality of the salvation that Jesus Christ brings, the reality of heaven that our Lord Jesus Christ has already accomplished for his people. They do not know the grace of God that he pours on his people. See, to give thanks means that those who do are satisfied. They're content. They do not have any complaints. They do not have worries. Thus, they are very happy people and content people. In other words, it will be so hard to give thanks to God when you have so much worries and complaints. I mean, isn't that so easy to understand? So if you are giving thanks to the Father all the time in your life, it just means you're a very happy person. You're content. You're satisfied with what God is doing in your life. Because whatever happens in your life, you understand that that is better. Even though according to the world, these bad things happen in your life, that is still better than what you truly deserve because of your sin. You're happy. And it's not that God is there to just make you miserable. Even those sufferings, you understand, it comes to you so that through it, you will be more like Christ. So we give thanks to our God. No matter what happens in our lives, we know that it is His best. Because He promised us all things work together for our own good. Sometimes it's hard to understand, but you still know that that is best for you. So you give thanks. Because you know He loves you. Now, we believe that the word joy at the end of verse 11 belongs to verse 12. The original Greek Bible was written without any punctuation. So it's very hard to figure out where the sentence ends. Where the sentence ends. So you got to look at the context to determine where the sentence ends. If the word joy goes with verse 11, then it will read, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. That is how ESV has it. If the word joy goes with verse 12, then it will read, joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. You understand what I'm saying? That last word that you see in verse 11, it could either go to verse 11 or it could go to verse 12. We chose to say that it will go with verse 12. And NIV, NSSB have it as it belongs to verse 12. So, some people put that joy with verse 11, some with verse 12. Now, no matter where the word goes, verse 11 or verse 12, both ways, it doesn't contradict any teachings of the Bible. So it's not really a big problem for us. So either steadfastness and patience with joy or with joy giving thanks. Either way, it really doesn't create any big problem. But we say, with joy we give thanks. See, Christian life is a life that gives thanks to our God, and that joyfully. That's what Christian life is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15b and verse 17, be thankful. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Not only Christian life is a life that gives thanks to our God, giving thanks to God is God's command. So if you don't, you're sinning. You're disobeying God. Now, why do we give thanks to our God? Our reasons for giving thanks to our God are too numerous that it will take too much time to talk about it today. So, we'll stick with verse 12 because that's the verse that we're looking at. That's the God's word that we are looking at, we are hearing. So let's stick with verse 12. And verse 12, according to verse 12, the reasons why we give thanks to our God is that our Heavenly Father has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. This is why we give thanks to our God. You and I share in the inheritance of the saints. You and I possess the inheritance of the saints together. Acts chapter 26, verse 18, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, and they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. See, we are saved to receive an inheritance. Now, what kind of inheritance? Our verse says, inheritance of the saints in light. The phrase in light is being contrasted with the phrase, the domain of darkness, in next verse, verse 13. We're looking at verse 12, but if you look at verse 13, there's domain of darkness, but contrasted with that, in light. The realm of light is contrasted with the realm of darkness. Thus, what kind of inheritance? The inheritance of the realm of light. Now, what is that? Inheritance of the kingdom of light. In other words, heavenly inheritance. The eternal inheritance.
This sound.
Okay, thank you. Heavenly inheritance, the eternal inheritance. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16, who, meaning God, alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. Our God dwells in unapproachable light. Here, the light is expressed as a location. Thus, the inheritance of the saints in light is the heavenly inheritance. Now, what was the inheritance of the Old Testament? Well, Old Testament inheritance was a typological inheritance. Whenever it's typological, it's earthly, temporary, partial. The Old Testament inheritance was the promised land, the land of Canaan. And we know that 12 tribes divided the land, and each tribe possessed a part of the land of Canaan. Just like it, our verse says that God has qualified us to share in the inheritance. We all together, we share the heavenly inheritance. Not only heaven is our eternal inheritance, Bible also says that God is our eternal inheritance. Psalm 16 verse 5 says, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance. I mean, if you possess God, you are possessing everything. Because God has all things. Just like in the Old Testament, the Levites were not given the earthly inheritance because God told them God is their inheritance. Just like Levites, we have our God as our eternal inheritance. So what is the heavenly inheritance? It is God Himself and His kingdom. We possess that as our eternal inheritance. Now, who receives inheritance? The sons. Now, when we say sons, daughters are included in this sense. But when we look at the custom of the Old Testament, the sons, they receive the inheritance. So verse 12, that what we are reading in verse 12, it tells us that we are God's sons. Because it tells us that we are qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, meaning that we have become God's sons. It also tells us that we are the brothers of Jesus Christ, our elder brother. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 and 17 says, "The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him." You and I, we are heirs because we have God and His kingdom as our inheritance. We possess them. And our verse says that God has qualified us to share in the inheritance. Us being qualified to receive the inheritance is the work of God. He has qualified us. It is not the result of our works, not the result of anything that we have done, but it is God's work. He has qualified us. See, only through Jesus Christ, His death on the cross, and His resurrection for our justification, that He cleansed all our sins with His blood, and we have been resurrected to a new self, recreated in the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, we now qualify to receive His inheritance. You know, in this world, especially when parents or parents are rich, it is so important for those children to receive that inheritance. Oh, believe me, they will do anything to get that. And here, I'm telling you that you have God and heaven as your inheritance. And if you're not excited about that, see, only reason that those rich kids are so focused on their inheritance is they know the value of it. I mean, if a parent or parents will give $10 as an inheritance, man, those kids will not be excited about that because they know the value of it. It's just $10. Do you know the value of inheritance that you possess? Well, just judging by your outward appearance, I don't think you do understand. Because if I just come here and tell you that the parent that you never knew, he left you like $1 billion, you'll be jumping up and down. Because you understand the value of it, $1 billion. How about God and His kingdom as your inheritance? It
doesn't excite you.
We have become His sons, and we are the recipient of this inheritance. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God." The word adequacy can be translated as our sufficiency or our qualification. Our qualification is from God. It's not from ourselves. God has already shown this reality in the Old Testament. The Old Testament Israel received the promised land, their inheritance, typological inheritance. But not because they were righteous with their good works. No. All men who came out from Egypt, who were over 20 years old, all men, 600,000 men, died in the wilderness. Except two. I have to mention those two, right? Caleb and Joshua. They didn't die. They went into the promised land. What does that show? That even though they came out from Egypt and they are to receive the inheritance, which was the land of Canaan, they were so sinful. And they all died in the wilderness. Can you imagine? Can you even think about it? 600,000 men died. Meaning, you know, more women died. And I don't know, maybe. Bible doesn't mention that, so I should not say. But Bible does mention 600,000 men died because of their sins. They never received that inheritance. But the second generation, people who were younger than 20 years old when they came out, they received the inheritance. But it's not because they were better than their parents. We're all sinners. So God shows us the fact that on their own merit, nobody receives inheritance, but God still gives inheritance to their second generation, showing that it is from God. God qualified them to receive it. See, sinners are not qualified to receive the inheritance. See, if we are to receive God's inheritance by our good works, we will eternally die forever. There's no way we could receive that inheritance. But Jesus Christ, it is in Him, it is through Him. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 through 7, "But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that He might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." That you are a son who will receive the inheritance from God. And Jesus alone has saved us. And Jesus alone has qualified us to receive the eternal inheritance. That's why we give thanks to our God. The Word of God says that now in Jesus Christ, we are qualified. And I want you to be very happy, because you are qualified. Qualified to receive the inheritance. Inheritance of heaven. And this is all grace of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9 and 10. "For I am the least of the apostles," Paul says, "and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by grace of God, I am what I am. and His grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labored more, even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. He understands that all is grace of God. And we must understand the same. How then did we become God's sons to receive the eternal inheritance? How did this happen? Well, Jesus Christ, who is the true Son, was disqualified as Son on the cross. He was not treated as the Son on the cross. The Father forsook His Son on the cross, so that you and I be qualified to receive this inheritance as His sons. See, Jesus, who called His Father always Father throughout His life here on earth, could not even call Him Father on the cross. Thus you hear Him crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because until then, every time He addressed the Father, He would say, Father. But He could not do that because He bore our sins on the cross, dying for our sins. That's how He qualified us to receive that inheritance as God's sons. See, God qualified you and me to receive our eternal inheritance, which is God and His kingdom, heaven. Thus, we joyfully give thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. And by qualifying us to receive Himself as our eternal inheritance, God Himself possesses us as His eternal inheritance. God has His own inheritance. And it's you. You. Psalm 33, verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom He has chosen for His own inheritance. Psalm 94, verse 14, for the Lord will not abandon His people, nor His forsake His inheritance, meaning His people. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 9, for the Lord's portion is His people. Jacob, the allotment of His inheritance. Thus we give thanks to the Father for each other. We are His inheritance and He is our inheritance. He enjoys us forever and we enjoy Him forever. Because even in this world, when you receive big inheritance, you will enjoy. And this is what heaven is all about. He is our delight, and you are His delight. This is what salvation is all about. It's like, what does God get for all that He has done? You. And He's very, very excited. Very, very happy. What do we get as a result of salvation? God. And we are very, very happy. Because there's nothing we'd rather have than God and the relationship that we have with God. Give thanks to God. We give thanks to God now and forever. Psalm 30 verse 12, that my soul may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. This is our life. Brothers and sisters who have come to God to worship Him, Psalm 95 verse 2 says, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Psalm 100 verse 4, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him, bless His name. And that is exactly what we're doing together as His people, as we worship our God. Do you understand that you are here to give thanks to God? And if you sit there and you're not thanking Him, then you are out of place. You really do not understand what worship is all about. Give thanks, for He has qualified us to receive the eternal inheritance. Meaning, qualify us to possess God forever and ever. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, realize that as we worship our God, we give thanks to Him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Thank You for what You have done and accomplished for us. Oh Father, we thank You for qualifying all of us so that we may receive the eternal inheritance of heaven, that we possess God and Your kingdom forever and ever as our eternal inheritance. And Father, let us enjoy what we possess and give You all the glory and thanksgiving. We give thanks to You, Father, for what You have done and accomplished in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior and God. We thank You and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.